with eyes for the most part downcast, and, if ever they lighted on a fellow creature, at once and furtively averted, Bernard hastened across the roof. He was like a man pursued, but pursued by enemies he does not wish to see, lest they should seem more hostile even than he had supposed, and he himself be made to feel guiltier and even more helplessly alone. That horrible Benito Hoover! And yet the man had meant well enough, which only made it in a way much worse. Those who meant well behaved in the same way as those who meant badly. Even Leniner was making him suffer. He remembered those weeks of timid indecision, during which he had looked and longed and despaired of ever having the courage to ask her. Dared he face the risk of being humiliated by a contemptuous refusal? But if she were to say yes, what rapture! Well, now she had said it, and he was still wretched. Wretched that she should have thought it such a perfect afternoon for obstacle golf, that she should have trotted away to join Henry Foster, that she should have found him funny for not wanting to talk of their most private affairs in public. Wretched, in a word, because she had behaved as any healthy and virtuous English girl ought to behave, and not in some other abnormal, extraordinary way. He opened the door of his lockup and called to a lounging couple of Delta Minus attendants to come and push his machine out onto the roof. The hangars were staffed by a single Bokanovsky group, and the men were twins, identically small, black, and hideous. Bernard gave his orders in the sharp, rather arrogant, and even offensive tone of one who does not feel himself too secure in his superiority. To have dealings with members of the lower castes was always, for Bernard, a most distressing experience. For whatever the cause, and the current gossip about the alcohol in his blood surrogate may very likely, for accidents will happen, have been true, Bernard's physique was hardly better than that of the average gamma. He stood 8 centimeters short of the standard alpha height, and was slender in proportion. Contact with members of the lower castes always reminded him painfully of this physical inadequacy. "I am I, and I wish I wasn't." His self-consciousness was acute and distressing. Each time he found himself looking on the level instead of downward into a Delta's face, he felt humiliated. Would the creature treat him with the respect due to his caste? The question haunted him, not without reason, for gammas, deltas, and epsilons have been to some extent conditioned to associate corporeal mass with social superiority. Indeed, a faint hypnopedic prejudice in favor of size was universal. Hence the laughter of the women to whom he made proposals, the practical joking of his equals among the men. The mockery made him feel an outsider, and feeling an outsider, he behaved like one, which increased the prejudice against him and intensified the contempt and hostility aroused by his physical defects, which in turn increased his sense of being alien and alone. A chronic fear of being slighted made him avoid his equals, made him stand where his inferiors were concerned, self-consciously on his dignity. How bitterly he envied men like Henry Foster and Benito Hoover, men who never had to shout at an epsilon to get an order obeyed, men who took their position for granted, men who moved through the caste system as a fish through the water, so utterly at home as to be unaware either of themselves or of the beneficent and comfortable element in which they had their being. Slackly, it seemed to him, and with reluctance, the twin attendants wheeled his plane out on the roof.
"Hurry up," said Bernard irritably.
One of them glanced at him. Was that a kind of bestial derision he detected in those blank grey eyes?
"Hurry up!"
he shouted more loudly, and there was an ugly rasp in his voice. He climbed into the plane, and a minute later was flying southwards towards the river.